Okay, then we'll go on with combinations, please.
Thank you. The combination is very often presented as the novelty. In fact, it is not so much the novelty, but the provisions, they are new. Because in the past, in 2007-2013, we did not have provisions on the combination in the regulation. They appeared in the guidance and in the interpretation notes, but they were not in the legislative framework. Now they are in the CPR, in Article 37, paragraph 7, 8, and 9. And generally, there is a continuation of approach from 2007-2013, so we may have two types of combination. And the same two types of combination are included in the financial regulation, so they are the same types of combination are envisaged for the EU-level instruments. So we have, in a way, coordination with EU-level instruments, the same approach, and we have a kind of continuity from the past. Now, what are these two types of combination? The first type of combination, it is a combination within financial instrument. So we may have, in addition to the normal financial instrument operation, like loans, grants, and equity, we can have a certain grant elements in the financial instrument. These grant elements, they should be directly linked to the financial instrument. So in a way, they should target the financial instrument itself. When explaining this, we very often say that these grants, their purpose is to facilitate the implementation of financial instrument. The regulation gives, as example, interest rate subsidy, guarantee fee subsidy, and technical support for preparation of future investments in final recipients. And we see that these three examples presented in the regulation, they indeed aim at improving the implementation of financial instrument. Guarantee fee subsidy and interest rate subsidy, they make the support more affordable to the final recipients, while technical support may help to finalize, to fine-tune the investment which is proposed by the final recipients, but maybe not yet fully ready for being presented to the fund manager. So this is this first type of combination. And then these grants elements, they become part of this of the same operation. So they become part of the financial instrument itself. The rules on financial instruments are applicable to these grants. These grants, the allocation for these grants comes together from managing authority with the allocation to financial instruments. So there is one allocation, one contribution, and this is covered by the funding agreement. And the need for such a grant is also analyzed in ex-ante assessment. Of course, we have here, we may have here situation of a state aid issue when, especially in cumulation, we may have a situation that the final recipient who receives a loan, which is, let's say, a de minimis loan, in addition is supported by technical support through the preparation of this investment. So in a way, we may have a situation that final recipients may end with de minimis aid, which is not anymore de minimis aid because it is exceeded. So here the accumulation of state aid is very important issue. And still, even if these two forms of support, meaning grant and financial instrument traditional, they are in the same operation, we should have separate records for each stream of funding. And the second type of combination, this is the type of combination in which member states are much more interested. This is the combination which actually happens at the level of the final recipient. So we have an enterprise who wants to be supported by the grant and by the financial instrument. We may have a project which is not fully financially viable, so part of the project will be supported by the grant, part of the project will be supported by the financial instrument. And this is perfectly fine, but grant support and financial support, they constitute formally two separate operations. The grant cannot enter the financial instrument system and cannot be treated as financial instrument. The grant has to be treated as grant with grant rules, and financial instrument still belongs to the financial instrument mechanism and falls under the financial instrument rules. the sum of support, of course, cannot exceed the value of the expenditure item. Grants cannot be used to repay loans, or loans cannot be used to pre-finance grants. And the most important message here for this type of combination is that these two forms of support have to finance distinct expenditure. We cannot have a situation that loan overlaps with the grant for the same expenditure, because then we will have a double declaration of the same expenditure. As long as they can be separated, you are perfectly fine and you can do it. Here the issue of state aid, of course, comes in, because we may have we will have for sure a combination of and accumulation of state aid. Also for the state aid, maybe it depends under which state aid regime you will develop your financial instrument, but under some state aid frameworks there is a need for the final recipients to keep its own contribution. So here in this picture you will have a loan, you will have a grant, and you will need to have also own contribution by the enterprise, because state aid may require this. So the state aid rules are very important, and they should be checked up front. I have to say that we have received quite critical comments from the member states, especially on this second type of, on this type of combination, because there was a perception by the member states that in a way they can pack together grants and financial instruments to the body which will implement financial instrument. These amounts will be merged, and then financial intermediary will give partly grant, partly loan, but there will be no separation of records, there will be no separation of operation. And we learned that this was especially somehow needed and desired in the operations for energy efficiency, where projects indeed, they do not have enough financial viability to be supported only by loans, so there was a need to give to the final recipients also partly a grant. Now we are still in the discussion of this note with the member states, but as it is shown on this very last slide, we see that it is possible to give a grant and financial instrument through the same body. So we may have this energy efficiency scheme where there will be one body giving grants and giving a financial instrument, for example, loan. But still there is a separation of operations. Still we have a grant support which falls under grant rules, and we have financial instrument support which falls under financial instrument rules. So we cannot for sure give up this separation and this distinct expenditure, because otherwise we will enter in the situation where we have double declaration of the same expenditure. So most likely this solution we will present to the member states as a reply to the concerns and the questions. But as I said, we are still in the discussion. Maybe we will manage before summer to have a finalized version, but it very much depends on the discussion in the next adhesive committee with the member states. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, I know this is a very technical subject, but if you have some questions, I'm happy to try to reply.
Anybody? Well, you will be here at lunch as well, so if you don't dare to ask the question in the plenary, you can always join you for lunch, let's say so. Okay. Then I think, Rachel, could you also join us here on the floor, please? And we'll try to wrap this up. I think these two ladies have done a fantastic job of making an hour and a half, an hour and 15 minutes. Very good. And it goes a bit quickly. It's very technical. Although many of you are well into this subject, let's say so. Of course, going out, making the joke about your lunch with 20 people. If I want to know more, where do I go? Of course, we will do a lot on the Phi Compass. We will download constantly things, so please go and check the Phi Compass homepage now and then, because it could be useful. But you will also, of course, want to talk to somebody directly. Who do I call? Who do I ask questions when I feel that, okay, I got some hint of what's going on, I want to know more?
I mean, it depends a little bit on the question. I think definitely underline what you've said, Ulf, that the first point or our aim in any case, and it's still quite new, so teething problems and people take time to get used to it. But really the first point of call will be the Fee Compass website, because that's where at least we hope that all the published information will be available. And this ranges already, as you'll certainly know by the end of today, from really the kind of publicity material, so the 2-3 minute video which gives an overview of financial instrument possibilities 2014 to 2020, to indeed these guidance notes, some of which will be, as you've had a taste of this morning, very technical. So I'd say go there in the first instance. And then it depends a little bit, I think, what you're looking for. I mean, if you want to know about what's happening in financial instruments in a particular region or member state, probably the best place to first go to is that regional member state, because the managing authorities are, in most of the programs that we've seen, because most managing authorities are looking at financial instruments as a possibility, at least under SME support. So they're probably as well versed in the possibilities in your particular member state or region as we are, in fact, if not better. And then if it's a question from a managing authority, so if you're in a managing authority or an audit authority and you've got questions about how it works, then the first point of contact is indeed DG Regional Policy. And there I would say the very first point of contact is the head of unit or the desk officer for the geographic unit. So you come into them, they may already be able to answer your question right out, or they may feed it back in to us. We'll either make sure it comes out through a guidance note, or we'll discuss together with the relevant geographic unit how to deal with it. Just to, maybe because it wasn't self-evident, we both come from the unit that deals with financial instruments, so the same unit that Stefan Apple is head of, and we have a certain information and knowledge about what's going on in the member states, but our real experts are your geographic desk officers. And so we could give you maybe a theoretical reply to some of your questions, but it's only them who would really know what's happening in the program, what's the past experience, and some of the regional context. So I think in general, if you're a managing authority, go to them in the first instance, and they'll involve us if and when necessary.
I would just like to add that please ask questions, because sometimes we see some provisions very obvious for us, and we even do not intend to clarify anything. Mm-hmm. But then we discover with the discussion with you that something is completely not clear, and indeed on this particular provision guidance or some clarifications are needed. Sometimes we do not know what is not clear, what is clear, and where the guidance really is needed. As Rachel said, we want to limit it as much as possible, but your questions, they will somehow initiate the work on our side.
And then we come to my next question, which is about, now we have some documents on the tables on your way to lunch that you can look at, and you've got some insights from Rachel and Johanna. What's next in pipeline? You gave us some hints early on, yeah. Rachel. What's next?
So, well, as Hannah said, we hope that these last two will be finalized, at least the payments one by the summer. The combination one, as Hannah said, depends on the further discussions with member states. And we also have a few more coming up, which, as Hannah also indicated, have been very much prioritized on the basis of the questions coming in. So management costs and fees, we've had a lot of questions about how that functions, how the new provisions will be implemented, what they mean. Also, the leverage effect that I referred to briefly at the beginning. As I said, there's been confusions over the definition, but also questions about how will we calculate it and how will we report it, because it is something that will be obligatory in the reporting. Preferential remuneration, so this is something which has been specifically included in the in Title IV, so the definition and how this will work. Then, depending a little bit also on how many questions we get on the different ones, a bit more detailed guidance on those different implementation options that I mentioned. Now, when we put them in the regulation, or rather when they were put in the regulation, yes, in our proposal, but further elaborated by the co-legislator, Our understanding was that member states' managing authorities were very clear about what those different options meant in practice, but we are getting a few questions about that. So we might well put either into one guidance note or separate guidance notes exactly how it works. And then there's another one also for the autumn, which now escapes me. Ah, yes, eligibility. We're getting quite a few questions about specific products and are they or are they not eligible. Also, I have spotted recently some ideas about securitization, but not under the SME initiative. Securitization is only possible under the SME initiative, but there's already some misunderstandings there. So eligibility and just explaining black and white what the position is. And it's not always in the legal basis for our part, so for the CPR. Sometimes we're looking at the financial regulation, or we have to develop also the state aid framework, indeed. And in other cases also there may be a policy line because there are certain discussions about, what public money should or perhaps shouldn't be used for. So this will be coming out as well. But those that I mentioned, it's more likely to be around September, October, we discuss with member states, and then in terms of Fee Compass website, probably in the weeks after. It depends a bit on each note. Some are rather straightforward, at least in our view. Yeah. Others do raise a lot of questions, and I mean, the reason we want to take so long over them is that we want to make sure that they work in all 28 member states. And that by definition is an exercise which, if you have 28 different national legislative frameworks that then start, and policy frameworks that then start feeding in, and sometimes then, again, a regional dimension on top of that, this can take a long time. But it does help to ensure that the final version of the guidance note takes account of all the situations and doesn't exclude anyone.
Thank you.